This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Man, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. You know, a lot of people in Skytook, a lot of people watching on the internet, and it becomes somewhat overwhelming. And especially because the church for a lot of people is like an emergency room. It's like, oh my gosh, my life's got hit by a train. And that's what Jesus said. You send a doctor to the ill, to the sick. We don't come for righteous people. We come for unrighteous people that have stumbled and gotten off track and have bad attitudes and have been judgmental or whatever. And it's interesting because we hear stories like a big fish swallowing a guy and then spitting him out into an enemy land to reach him, to Nineveh. We hear stories about these two people that just pop up in a garden, and they have dominion in that garden. And it's like, where'd they come from? What? We hear stories like God laying out on a, speaking to a man who was a drunkard and said, I need you to build me a boat. So let's call it an ark. And you're going to put all the animals on that ark. And two by two, they're going to be on there. And you have to understand, it had never rained when Noah was building that ark. The earth had never rained before. It's just, it's honestly, you might say, but preacher, I don't believe that stuff. I have a hard time sometimes, except let me throw in a little point that clears the whole thing up. Because there was a man who knew no sin, who was born of a virgin birth and walked on this earth. And you might think, man, that virgin birth thing, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, I'll give you that one too. But you know what this guy said? This guy said that he would give his life, he would die on our behalf. And on the third day, he'd rise from the dead and he'd be back with them. He predicted it, and then it happened. Okay, now let me tell you that they have proven that. History proves that happened. So now if I can believe that Jesus defeated death in the grave and came back to life, it's easy to believe what Noah did. It's easy to believe about Jonah. It's easy to believe about Adam and Eve. See, and that's, so now we go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and just look on the screen because it's in the message. It says, but how, you say, how? How? And he said, and then Jesus said this. He said, so Paul writes, he says, for the man himself, Jesus, who knew no sin, who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And let me explain this to you, how this whole thing works. And this is going to help you receive this message. This is going to help you maybe have a different perception of life and a different outlook. And what I want to do is I want to make a case today for you in the next 15 or 20 minutes that you can have a determined outlook in your life. You can determine it. You can. You can take ownership of your life and stewardship of God's promise for your life, and you can live the life of God in Christ, the greatest life known to man. You can have that life. And see, you who know Jesus as the Lord of your life, the Bible says that if anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved, rescued, restored, made whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. And that what happens is that when we pass from this earth, we go from life to life. So now when we're passing from life to life, we approach the white throne of judgment. And let me just tell you, I'm telling you, you want to talk about butterflies, because I don't know about you guys, but I've got some missteps and some mistakes and some sin in my past that I don't want to have to make account to carry, but I get to carry this. I get to pass before that white throne of judgment, and it's awkward. I'm like, wait a second. I know that's a place where I'd be judged, but then I get to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And what happens is at the judgment seat of Christ is I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm hidden in Christ. All the judgment seat of Christ can see is Christ. So I'm judged for what Jesus did, not for what I did. So now here I am in my life, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is a bad day. Maybe they'll let me in by the skin of my teeth. But I don't get in by that. I get in by what Jesus did. Because he was a man who knew no sin. He became sin for me in the last hours of his life. The weight of my sin, the weight of your sin came upon him. The Bible says, it goes so far as to say that he became sin for us. So if we believe that he was nailed to that cross, if we believe that he died on that cross, guess what was nailed and died on that cross? The dominion of sin that was attached to our lives. That's great news, okay? So that's the end. That's the complete end game right there. That we go to heaven and it's like, oh my gosh, you've loved me so much all my life. It's overwhelming. Jesus, it's your glory. But the way God does anything is the way God does everything. And Jesus said, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. God's no respecter of persons. In God, there's no shadow of turning. If God heals, he's bound to heal you by his word, by his will. And see, he's bound to deliver you by his word, by his will. And see, we have to look at our lives now and we have to understand that we can't judge things for how they appear. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, by trust. And here, let me tie that in a nice little bow for you. The disciples sit before Jesus and they said, oh my gosh, we are so blessed. Do you know how blessed we are? And Jesus said, yeah, you don't understand. Man, there are some coming. You're blessed. But there are those who are coming that will believe yet have never seen. Guess what, guys? That's us. He said he called them blessed. See, God called you blessed when Jesus was still walking on this earth. And he might as well have just called you blessed by your name in the situation and the circumstance that you're in right now. And man, some of you guys have situations and circumstances going on in your life that it's easy for you to freak out, to wig out, to be anxious, to be worried. Man, you guys that are raising teenagers and college kids, I'm telling you, the word is true. Let not your heart be troubled. You know there's a God. Believe in his promise. That's all Jesus said. Believe in his promise. See, and we've got to look at that, and we've got to understand now that we are the heart of God. But now the cause of Christ has come onto our lives. And it's interesting because Jesus, those disciples, let me just explain something to you. Jesus came up to Peter and the sons of Zebedee and he said in Matthew, and he said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Somehow these guys did it. Somehow these guys dropped their nets and follow Jesus. And they're walking with Jesus and they're thinking, this is cool. We're gonna get some outstanding training because this guy's a great teacher and a great rabbi is what they're thinking. We're gonna get some high-level training. They got no training. You know what they got to do? They got to go and he began to preach and teach the kingdom. Man, it was revolutionary. He's not preaching Rome. He's not preaching the law. He's preaching the kingdom. And these guys are going, dear God, what have we gotten into? This guy's making a mess. But then you know what he did? He started healing the sick, delivering the demoniacs. Then do you know what he did? He put his hand, he touched lepers. Here's Peter going, what? These are people, these weren't just outcasts. These were people that nobody wanted to touch. Nobody wanted to breathe the air in their vicinity. They couldn't drink. They had to bathe in their own special pool. See, we look at it now, we think it's a euphemism. We think it's just it's just a figure of speech. Man, I went to that party. Nobody even talked to me. Man, everybody rejected me. They treated me like I was a leper. That is nothing compared. These people, their skin was falling off. They were dying and dying and dying and rejected at the same time in horrific pain. And you know what Jesus did? He put his hands on them. They're like, I didn't buy into this vulnerability. I'll be real honest with you, I didn't. I don't know that Pastor Sandy did. The vulnerability of the cross, the vulnerability of the work of God, the vulnerability of ministry. It's crushing. But here's Jesus, and he's doing all this. These disciples went through 3 years of living hell with him. Jesus, it was cultish. We get up and we preach about him turning over tables in the temple. Those guys all had to feel like they had his back. Man, all of organized religion was about to come onto their head. But here's what happened. Then he's accused, and he can get himself off, but chooses not to. They said, do you call yourself the king of the Jews? He said, that's what you say that I am. Look, if you didn't do it, sir, please just say you didn't, because we will let you go. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm just going to ask you one more time. Do you call yourself the king of the Jews? That's what you have said that I am. I'm great with what you say. Okay, we'll let the people decide. So here are the disciples. And they're thinking, this is going to be easy. They put him up against a convicted murderer. Not just a felon, not a petty thief. Those are the guys he was hung with. See, we look at this, we have to understand, wait a second. And then they're all screaming, crucify him. When you know what, just hours before that, they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, remember? Hosanna, Hosanna, crucify him. Rip him apart. It was riotous. And here's these disciples. They're thinking, what is happening? So much so that Peter denied him 3 times, a third time, a little kid. You don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here, you little. He couldn't even handle that kind of confrontation. And here Jesus is, hangs, dies on the cross. Here's the disciples. Listen to this. Here's the disciples. This is just a pretty accurate picture for you. Here's the disciples watching him, watching those centurions. Bam, bam, spit in his face, jammed a crown of thorns in his head, whipped him 39 times. The guy was going to hit him one more time, and they grabbed him and said, don't do it, because that will fulfill his death sentence, and we're going to, hey, he's supposed to die by crucifixion. They didn't put him on some beautiful hand-laid wood. He hung on a tree. They just split a tree, and they nailed it together. It was rough. They nailed him to that tree, and his body had been shredded by the lashes that he took and the pounding he took. Centurion DNA all over him from them spitting on him. And they watched him die. They freaked out. They hid. And the third day, he came back to life. Peter heard about the empty tomb, so Peter ran to it. Mary ran by him. Peter didn't want to get there first. It's vulnerability. They come, They realize Jesus is alive. They're with him. Weeks upon weeks, they get to the Mount of Ascension. Old Testament prophets appear. Peter's like, oh my gosh, all of these 3 years has instantly become worth it. Let's build tents. Let's stay right here. Jesus said, Peter, come on. Come on, buddy. Work with me. He said, I'm not staying. I must go. Are you kidding me? Jesus, you don't get it. I think we've won. I think we did it. Now is it the time to establish the kingdom of Israel? He said, man, it's not yours to know the time or the hour. But guess what? You're going to receive power. Dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamic in nature. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Yeah. What are you talking about? I'm Peter. He said, I must go. It's to your advantage that I go. And he ascended into heaven. You know, it's amazing. He said he had to go so that the Holy Spirit, the breath of heaven. See, we take this stuff for granted. As a human being, I take breathing for granted until I can't. It requires something very traumatic for me to appreciate the opportunity to breathe. But you know what? That's the correlation that God gave us for his spirit, the breath of heaven. You know, we can breathe, and it's involuntary. And we can receive the Holy Spirit once we accept it and receive it. It's just involuntary. It's a constant infilling of the Holy Spirit, yet we don't recognize it, him operating in our life at that level. Jesus said this. Let me throw some things out. You know what he said? The works that I do, you'll do. They're like, I'm not touching lepers. He said, but greater, because I go to my Father. See, here's what's interesting. What's interesting about this is you don't have to ever face God without Jesus. He is our advocate with the Father. We have representation with the Father now. Everything God hears from us according to his will, he hears through Jesus. And it's yes and amen. It's not, well, you know, I'm insignificant. Why would God care about my issues or my trouble or what I'm going through? I'll tell you why he cares about your issues and your troubles and what you're going through. Because he's hearing it from Jesus. Jesus sits at the right hand of God making intercession for you. He's hearing it from Jesus. God trusts Jesus. God hears Jesus. God knows Jesus. See, that's who this Jesus is. And now Jesus said, I must go so the Comforter, that which is the Holy Spirit, the very breath of heaven, could come into your life. And you know what? He ascended. And they're like, oh my God. What else? They go to the upper room, and when they come into one accord, the Holy Spirit in 3 days, remember the 3-day thing's a big deal. We want instant. We want to hit the button. We want to turn on the microwave. We want 35 seconds, and we want it to come to us piping hot. And let me just tell you, the bottom line on this is we've got to put our trust in God. There is seed, time, and harvest. And let me tell you, by the Spirit of God, this is the word of the Lord for some of you. Some of you guys have not received because the three-day rule didn't even apply. You're thinking, okay, I prayed. It didn't happen. I'm out. Here's what Jesus said. Why would Jesus say, why would he say, God withholds no good thing from those who pray? Why would Jesus say he would never leave us nor forsake us? He doesn't trust us He doesn't want us trusting what we can see. He doesn't want us trusting how we feel. Because you know what? What we see and how we feel, our day is never going to come. I'm not kidding you. But what do we live by? Faith. What is faith? It's trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust his promise? But here's what we have to do. We come into these kind of situations, and you know what? We know the church pretty good. This is plug and play. The church in America, you can take a template, and you can put it down, it's just paint by number. And that's not how God designed it. God designed this to be messy. God designed this. God didn't. What if blind Bartimaeus were here today? What if he started crying out, "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" You know what? The same thing would happen now is what happened then. There would be guys that would come over and they'd say, "Hey, you got to calm down. Come on, he's teaching. Man, you don't want to interrupt him. Man, what you're doing is rude. You got to know how to behave." I don't know how to behave. "Have mercy on me!" It said he even cried out all the more. And you know what? They said, "Hey, you have got to calm down. We are going to run you. You're going to have to go back to that Baptist church you keep messing around in here." Some of you guys just shuddered. Go back, you'll love us all the more. I'm always. But you know what? Jesus heard him and said, no. "Hey, that guy ain't gonna shut up. He's on a mission. He's persistent. Get him up here." You guys know the story. He spit in the ground. He said, no, here's what Jesus said. He comes to Jesus. Jesus said, "Hey, what can I do? Hey, you've taken over the meeting. You're in charge now. What do you need?" He could have said, "Man, I just need 5 minutes." It's interesting, isn't it? I hear that a lot. "Hey, can I meet with you for like 5 minutes or something sometime?" "For sure. That's easy. Why don't we just talk right now?" No, "I'll make an appointment." "No, I got lunch reservations. I'll make an appointment." No, you know what this guy says? Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Man, that I might see." Jesus spit on the ground, packed it, put it in his eyes, and said, put it over his eyes and said, "Now, go to the fountain and wash your eyes." See, Jesus changed everything. No one recognized it. You can't trust how you feel. You can't trust what you see. Jesus changed everything. The man still couldn't see, but Jesus flipped it. It wasn't that he couldn't see because he was blind, like when he walked up to Jesus. Now he couldn't see because he had mud in his eyes. Some of you guys are gonna leave here with mud in your eyes. And you're gonna think, "What good did it do? I still can't see." But you know what? There's a condition upon it now. Go to that fountain and wash your eyes. You know, it's interesting because we have altar calls in this church. And some people say, "Well, there aren't a lot of churches having altar calls anymore." Trust me, they're all coming back to it. And I'll tell you why. It gives people an opportunity to go to the fountain and wash their eyes and receive the deliverance and the sight that God's promised them. But you know what? See, we look at it, and if we judge things how they look or how we feel about him, we miss it because he still couldn't see. But you know what? Everything had changed. What if that's true for you today? What if while you were sitting here and the word's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? What if everything in your life has instantly, dramatically changed during the service? What if? And I'll be real honest with you. I'll lay it out for you. Stand up, LT. I'll lay it out for you. I prayed for, that's all I prayed for this service today. That's all I prayed. All I prayed was that everything would change. That you wouldn't come in here and leave, nobody would leave the way they came. And you know what? You don't get a choice in the matter. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You leave here better, but here's the deal. You receive it when you go to that fountain. See, there's so many people, you might not, "I've been going to church and going to church and going to church." It isn't about going to church. I don't want to raise up guys like that going to church. I want to raise up guys like that loving the house. loving the house, man. It's not about going to church. Most church sucks. I'm not kidding you. They're waving stuff and it's real. What, you don't sit down, son, when I tell you to stand. You might stand in church till you're 18. Now you mess with me. I'm just telling you. If this, which it hasn't yet, evidently, becomes real to him, we can change the world. See, God's dealing with you right now. Everything in Janelle's life has just changed. See, and you know what? For her, stand up, Janelle. For Janelle, it's good enough. Her life's good enough. You going to heaven? You got a husband who loves you? You got healthy children? That's good enough, Meg. It really is. It's better than most. And that tears God's heart out. Jesus stands before both these guys today and says, what can I do for you? You stood up in this meeting. You interrupted this whole procedure. Made a mess of the whole program. What is it that you need? And you know what? Most people have come in here today would have a hard time answering it. Because it's good enough. I'll just tell you, I lead this church. I know every nook and cranny of it. Sandy and I, 8 out of 10 conversations we have are about what happens right here. And you know what troubles me? I think I can touch the lid. Stand up, ma'am. I think I can touch the lid. I really do. I can touch the lid. It's like, doggone it. We got to lift the lid. Man, if I got to spit in the ground and I got to make mud and I got to pack it in your eyes, Joe, at this point, I'm not sure I really care if you like me or not. I really don't. I just can't stand the idea of that boy right there with God's hand on his life, living a life of good enough. Because let me just tell you, we can keep this all comfortable and convenient and keep him in that lane, get him to heaven, and never touch the purpose of God in his life. I want to. I want to touch the purpose of God. I don't need an aha moment. I don't need Steven Dadgum Spielberg. I just need real. It's all I need. It's all I care. I'm hoping sinners are here today. I'm hoping. I prayed last night and I said, God, people that are tying one on tonight, that are going to end the night passed out, face down, drunk in the ditch, oh God, that they're there. God, I'm pleading with you on their behalf. I'm hoping you're here. I'm hoping you don't leave here the way you came. And I'll tell you what happened to me. What happened to me is that God grabbed a hold of me. And I fought, and I fought, and I fought. Then I didn't. It was rude of him. God grabbed me. Go ahead. Go somewhere. Come on, fight me off. Come on. Come on. You're a young football player. You're a stud. Get off. Come on. And then you know what? I quit fighting. And I grabbed him back. Grab me back. Now hold it. I'll give you a try to split us up. Because you're going to have a ball peen hammer. And I'm not letting go. And he's not letting go. And that's who God is in our lives now. You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping he's got mud-caked eyes when he leaves here. That's what I'm hoping. I'm not kidding you. I hope your eyes are so caked with mud when you leave here that you can't stand the thought of ever listening to me again. Because you know something? If you just happen to go to that fountain, all heaven breaks loose. God's hands on your life, sir. There's an incredible call of God in your life. Man, I sense the anointing, the presence of God on your life. God's doing something in you right now. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. This guy wants to look at you right now. No, he's sitting here thinking, is this church? You guys do this every week? But I can't go back to where we were last week. I can't stand it. God, I pray a refreshing in this church right here and right now. God, I thank you that bondages and addictions are broken off of every person in this place. If you have a bondage or addiction in your life, I want you to go to the altar right now. Just get up out of your seat and just go to the altar right now. You got to go to that fountain and you got to wash your eyes. You got to get up and go right now. If you're here and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, I need you to get up and just go to the altar right now. If your life's not right with God, if you're here and you've gotten off track, if you're here, guess what? And you know that white throne of judgment's there for you. And you want to pass by that white throne of judgment and go to the judgment seat of Christ where you're going to be judged for what Jesus did. I want you to get up out of your seat and I just want you to go to the altar right now. Take a chance that this is real. And it may be one of you, it may be 100 of you, it doesn't matter to me. Because I'm just telling you, I'm believing God, you don't leave here the way you came in. You don't leave here satisfied with the life you've been living. That you want so much more of God that you've got to get rid of so much in your life that it doesn't make any kind of difference to make more capacity for God. To give God a fighting chance. Why aren't you at that altar? Why? Is it because of what people are thinking? Is it what somebody's going to say? Maybe this guy might judge you or be critical of you. Really? You're not going to live the purpose of God because you're worried about what somebody's going to think? When we're not really that important, people aren't thinking about us. It's the devil. It's deception. It's a lie. If this is for you, you may be here today and you might feel like you're a leper. Jesus wants to touch you. Religion can't touch you. The law can't touch you. But God will touch you today.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.